Well, Hearts, today I'm going to take you into our midweek Bible study. Now I'm giving it to you, our radio congregation. And let me say this to you, as our radio congregation, I consider you that. I really do. You are just as much a part of this congregation as if you were here in Jacksonville and sitting in our teaching center. So I want you to know that I appreciate you, love you. And many times in signing your receipts, you know, after I sign the receipts every week, I lay them on my desk, I lay my hands on them, I bless the gift and the giver, and I ask the Lord to restore to you and return to you what you gave to him. And many times I've been looking at your name so long, a lot of times I just smile as I'm signing the receipts and getting them ready to send back to you. So many of you, I will never see you till I get to glory, until you get to glory. But just think, one day we're going to all gather together in glory, and then you can say, so you're Bob Martin, and I can say, well, you're so-and-so and so-and-so. You are part of our ministry. I want to thank you. I really appreciate it. Now, this is the message I taught Wednesday evening. This was our midweek Bible study. Here it is in its entirety. I present it to you for your consideration and hopefully for your equipping and for your encouragement. Here's the message, Achieving the Abundant Life. Be blessed as you listen. All right, children of the Most High God and citizens of the Celestial City, why don't you get your Bibles and open them initially to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Now, this is our midweek Bible study for this week, and we don't want to forget those in our congregation who need prayer. And I want you to know that we do pray for you, and I want the rest of the congregation praying for you as well. Toby, you and Roger, you're in our prayers. Bill, you're in our prayers. Brenda, you and Dennis, you're in our prayers, as are Isabel, Ken, different members of our congregation who need a touch from the Lord. But we want you to know that we understand the situation. We are praying for you. We will continue to pray for you, and we ask you to pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity of sharing the Word of God, a word I think is a comforting word, and I'm going to ask you to anoint me to teach it in such a way as to equip and encourage your people. And I'm going to ask you, Father God, to give each one ears to hear and a heart to receive the truth of your word. So, Holy Spirit, here am I. I need your anointing. I'm asking for your anointing, not only for myself, for those who are listening to this. And if you'll do this, we'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Word of God says, a thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now, that scripture speaks for itself, does it not? It tells us, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now, other scriptures tell us how the abundant life is achieved. How does one achieve the abundant life? I want to look at some scriptures, and I want us to spend this time together looking at that. How is the abundant life achieved? Let me ask you this. How would you define the abundant life? Now, this is not name and claim it. This is not name it and claim it. No, this is the word from the Word of God, but I'm asking you, I wonder if I gave you pencil and paper and sat down with you with a cup of coffee, glass of tea, or whatever, and said, why don't you jot down those things that you think constitute an abundant life? I wonder what you might write down. I wonder what you might not write down. Well, to discover more clearly what an abundant life is, I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Personal identification, my son. If you're born again, you're a child of the Most High God. If you've been born again, you have been adopted into the family of God. You are now a member of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. You are an adopted child of Jehovah God. But think of this. Adoptions are expensive. Adoptions are expensive. And the price paid for your adoption was the price that Christ paid on the cross. Stop and think for a moment about the love that God has for you, the price he paid for your adoption, the price that expressed his love for you, that bloody cross, that bloody back, that crown of thorns, the spikes in the hands, in the feet. That, my friend, was the price that God the Father paid that he might adopt you as his son. So we continue now with Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, do not forget my law. Do not ignore my instructions. Don't forget my instructions to you. Don't ignore them, and don't forget them. And that, friend, is where we make the mistake many times. So many times, we do ignore the Word of God. We ignore the promises of God. We ignore the instruction of God. But you see, what he's really saying is, don't ignore my law. Don't ignore my words. Don't forget my instruction. Why? They hold the key to the abundant life for his own. Did you hear me? I asked you a while ago how you would define an abundant life. It is the Word of God that holds the key to the abundant life for each one of his own children. But let your heart keep my commands, he goes on to say. What does he mean by that? Retain my words. Retain my instructions. Retain my commandments in your heart. Retain them, keep them, and obey them. Folks, there you are. You're in the first stages of that abundant life. You don't forget his law. You keep his law. You keep his commands. You retain his words. You retain his instructions. You retain his commandments. You keep them. You obey them. And now you're on the path to an abundant life. Look at the promise in Proverbs 3:2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. That's a big promise. That is a big promise from the Word of God. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Knowing them, here's what he's saying. He's saying, knowing them and obeying them adds years to your life. Knowing them, obeying them, he says, will add years to your life. You see, once you start obeying God, there's peace. There's peace of mind and peace of spirit in obeying God. We find realistically, and this hit me again this morning, we find a peace in Jesus Christ that we sought for and could not find in the world. We've all been there, haven't we? We were looking for something that would satisfy. I mean really, truly satisfy. We were trying to find satisfaction. We were trying to find peace, comfort, joy. We were trying to find achievement. We were trying to be esteemed. We went through all of these motions in the world, tasting this dish of the world and that dish of the world and sipping that drink from the world and that drink from the world and get involved in this activity of the world and that activity of the world and this city or that nation. And we were looking in all the wrong places. we could not find the only thing that would satisfy us in the world. The kingdom of darkness doesn't have it. Satan doesn't offer it. I don't care what expression of the kingdom of darkness it comes in, it cannot bring the peace of mind, the peace of the spirit that we find in Christ Jesus. We find that peace, as I said, in Christ Jesus that we could not find anywhere else. Many are looking for that peace in a bottle. Some are seeking it in a needle. And others are looking for it in an alternate lifestyle. Others are seeking it in any number of expressions of life, all of outside of Christ, and not finding it. They're not finding it because only Jesus Christ can bring what we're really, really seeking for. Look at verse 3, Proverbs 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What's he saying? Practice expressing mercy to others. That's what he's saying. Practice expressing mercy. Express mercy to others. Practice this. Practice not doing to them what they have done to you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So what you want to do in achieving this abundant life, these are some of the things you want to do. You want to express mercy to others. You don't want to do to them as they have done unto you. You want to live a life of truth. Live in truth, walk in truth, walk in light. A life without hypocrisy. A life without deceit or even self-deception. One of the things I pray fairly consistently is, Father, keep me from all deception. Keep me from satanic deception and keep me from self-deception. It is so easy for us to rationalize, to justify, and to deceive ourselves if we want to, if we work at it. So I pray that. But if you want the abundant life, you've got to live a life of truth. No hypocrisy, no deceit, no self-deception, no lying. You've got to express to others what your Heavenly Father has expressed to you and think about all that your Heavenly Father has expressed to you, and now you're to express that to others. These are steps to achieving the abundant life. Now look at verse 4. And so, in other words, by doing this, if you only do what we've talked about in the first three verses, in the first three verses, loaded with truth, those first three verses of Proverbs 3. Now we get to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. Watch this. And so, if you do this, find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. What's he saying? In living such a life, you will find favor with God and you'll find favor with men. In living a life such as this, you will be esteemed by God and you'll be esteemed by man. Many times men will not express their esteem to you. They will not express their regard to you or their appreciation of you, but it's there. It's there because as they see Christ in you and they see Christ being expressed through you and out of you to the everyday affairs of life and to them, they themselves, they're going to hold you in pretty high esteem. They may never voice it, but it's going to be there. You see, living such a life as that, you're going to be well thought of by both God and man. Now look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I have mentioned this to you in the past few weeks several times because I have embraced this as thoroughly as I know how to embrace it and seeking to embrace it even more. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In other words, trust the Lord explicitly. Trust Him. Trust Him without reservation, with all your being, with everything in you. Throw everything you are on Him. Trust Him completely, totally, thoroughly, fully, without reservation. Don't lean on your past experiences for guidance, because your past experiences could have been wrong. Just because you did it that way, that time, and got away with it, does not mean you can do it that way this time and get away with it. No. Don't lean on your past experiences. Don't lean simply on your academic achievements. You may have a wonderful, wonderful history of academic achievements. But friend, when it comes to living the everyday affairs of life, in spite of all of your academic achievements, you need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know what we're really saying here? I mentioned a couple of Sundays ago about seeking obscurity. Seeking obscurity. Try not to exalt yourself. Trying to practice not exalting yourself. It's okay to share your experiences with individuals as long as you show how God used that experience in your life and how God protected you, provided for you in that experience. But there's a world of difference between talking about your experiences and talking about your achievements. Because many times when we start talking about our achievements, we're talking about self-exaltation. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you how I accomplished this. Let me tell you how I got this attaboy, this accolade. You see, once I start moving from the experiences through which my Heavenly Father brought me, protected me, and provided for me, and I start talking about my achievements, if I'm not careful, I will eliminate His activity in my experience, in my achievement. That is why one of the old divines said, seek obscurity. I've often prayed, asking God to keep me and challenge just under the radar, just under the radar, but under His close attention. Not the attention of the world, not the attention of any media, but just His. Keep us under the radar. Sometimes it's extremely difficult to seek obscurity. It's just burning. You want to tell everybody that you are part of this, you are part of that. We even bring it into our prayer life. Sometimes God answers a wonderful, marvelous prayer, and we want them to know, I prayed that. Do you see how special I am? It's okay to let people know you pray, but make sure that you do it in the right spirit. When it comes to leaning on things, don't lean on your common sense all that much either. Common sense can be wrong. We call it common sense. I don't know that God calls it common sense, but we refer to it as common sense. Well, it's just common sense, isn't it? Well, a lot of what we refer to as common sense may not be right with God. No, come back to trust the Lord with all your heart. Put full weight. Put all of the weight of your decisions on the omniscience, the sovereignty, and the omnipotence of your Heavenly Father. Are you hearing something here? These are the steps to achieving the abundant life. You see, the one reason you want to do this, you want to trust Him with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Why? He foresees the end from the beginning. He foresees the end of that decision you are about to make. And He knows beforehand the results of the decision you're about to make. Are you making it in your own flesh? Is this your decision? Are you seeking the mind of the Lord? Are you seeking the leadership of the Lord? Are you seeking His peace in this thing? You see, inasmuch as He does foresee the end from the beginning, inasmuch as He knows before you take the action the end result of that action, that tells you that you need to seek His guidance. It is best to seek His guidance in that decision. You say, Bob, you can't go through life, every day of your life, every moment of your life, seeking His guidance. Why not? He tells you to. Do you walk with sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Word? Do you maintain a communion with Christ through prayer? Do you? You see, these are essentials to doing what we're talking about here. In Proverbs 3:6, once again, in all your ways, before you accept that medical protocol, before I take this medication, do I need to pray? Father, you know my body. You know the chemistry of my body. You know how my body is going to react to this chemical. Father, you know how my body is going to respond to this medical procedure. Father, I know that you can keep me from the medical procedure if you choose to do so. Is it really your will that I should go through this procedure? And what about the purchase of that home that I want? Or that automobile? Or that professional decision I'm about to make? I'm about to leave this job and go to that job. How do you feel about that, Lord? You see, all of these things, this makes up life. Folks, this is reality. This is reality. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Doesn't matter if it's a purchase, a medical protocol, or a professional decision. It doesn't matter. You want to seek His leadership, His guidance, His direction in everything you do. In the everyday, seemingly insignificant, minute decisions of life. You see, I am talking to people that if you had it to live over again, their decisions that you made, that you would not make that same decision again for any amount of money. Some of you made decisions about a relationship that you would to God you had not made that relationship. Some of you made decisions concerning medical protocols that you would to God you had not made that decision that you made. Some of you have made decisions financially, professionally, that today you would to God you had not made that decision, but you did not consult your Father. You didn't check the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You didn't want the Holy Spirit leading. No, you were determined you were going to do this, or somebody said you should do this, or you should accept this, or this is the way it should be done. And you said, okay, without questioning and without going to the Father. Friend, you want to seek the sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in everything in your life. I don't care if it's in your diet, if it's in your whatever it may be. He knows what is best for your body. He designed your body. He built your body. He put your body together. He knows your personality. He knows what has touched your life. He knows what has bruised your life. He knows what has gone into producing you to be who you are and what you are and all you are. He understands that. You don't understand that. Many never, ever, ever take the time to consider the things that touched their lives, the things that impacted their lives, that produced the fruit that's in their life now. No, you want to seek the sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Seek sensitivity. Do I have the peace of God in this? Do I have the peace of God, or do I not have the peace of God in this? If I have the peace of God, I can proceed. If I do not have the peace of God, and if the peace does not remain, I cannot proceed. I try to practice this. I try to practice this in the everyday affairs of life. I'm constantly just sort of checking my spirit to see, do I have the peace in this? Do I have the peace in doing this way and doing this that way? Do I? In the messages that I preach, the ones that the Holy Spirit gives me to prepare, as to His timing, as to the presentation, everything. I want His guidance. in every aspect of my life. Sometimes you need to slow down. Listen to me. Sometimes you need to slow down. Silently pray. Father, what do I do? I've told you before that in the time past, at times I would pretend to be winding my watch, even though I had a self-winding watch, to get time to pray, to pause from it. That's what Nehemiah did. Remember, Nehemiah had prayed so earnestly. Nehemiah had prayed so earnestly about going before the king and asking to be relieved of his duties as cupbearer, that he might go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and replace the gates. He had prayed so desperately. And then he made his request to the king. And basically the king said to him, well, what do you want me to do? The word of God says, Nehemiah said he prayed. Right there standing in front of the king. He didn't run to his prayer closet. He didn't say, just a minute, king, I got to pray. He didn't drop his head and pray audibly out loud. No, inwardly, right then and right there. And friend, you're going to be there. Some of us have already been there. Others are going to be there. When you've got to pray right now, what do I do? Spirit of God, I need your leadership. Spirit of God, I need your peace or lack of peace. I need you to either check my spirit or give me the peace. So you pray. The word says, if you'll do this, he will direct your path. That is a promise from God. Slow down and listen to what I'm saying. That is a promise from Jehovah God, our Heavenly Father, to his children. If you're his child, claim that promise. Go back to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Claim that promise. It's a promise from Jehovah God. Now, many times, you say, well, how am I going to know? Well, many times it's simply a still, small voice in your spirit. Say yes, no. This is the way. Walk you in it. Sometimes it's nothing more than a check in the spirit, just a little hesitancy. Other times it's a peace that just settles in your spirit. What does the Word of God say? In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, and your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk you in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. What's he saying? He's saying, give me the opportunity, I will guide you. Give me the opportunity, I will lead you. I will establish your thinking, I will establish your steps. Hear him. He will establish your thinking. He will establish your steps. God still speaks, folks. God still speaks. We need to listen. We need to listen. At times when he speaks, it is spirit to spirit. It is from his Holy Spirit to your spirit. Just that word of wisdom, that word of knowledge, that check, that peace, whatever it may be. And at times it's from his word. You'll have read a portion of his word how many times, but all of a sudden you're reading it for the 111th time and it speaks to you in a way that's never spoken to you before, and you know that you know that you know. So you stop. You ponder. You make yourself a note, point to ponder here. And you consider what he's saying to you from his word. From his word. So sometimes it's from his word. Other times, it may be in a message that you hear. God will speak a truth to you in the message that you hear that you needed to hear. And sometimes, it may be from a brother or a sister of the Lord. They may have a word, but you have to weigh what they say with the word of God. Just because somebody comes up to me and says, I have a word for you from the Lord, I'll listen to what you have to say. That does not mean I'm going to receive it. It does not even mean I believe it. It simply means I'm going to listen to you, and then I'm going to evaluate what you say to me in light of the Word of God, the character of Christ, and I may even go before the throne of God saying, Father, what do you think? Is this from you? Is this of you? Yes or no? John 16:13, Word of God says, Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. There it is again. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. God the Father, God the Son, speaking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's why you need sensitivity. That's why you need to slow down, wait, and listen. He wants to speak. He wants to guide you. But you see, to do this, you need to know the Word. Because Satan will try to deceive you. Folks, I've had Satan speak to me, trying to deceive me. Yes, you've been there. If you walk with God, I promise you've been there. So you need to know the Word. You need to be able to evaluate what you're hearing in your spirit, in your mind, with the Word of God. And is the peace there, and does it remain? So you need to know the Word of God. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How many are suffering today because the Scriptures were ignored? They just rushed into a whatever name you want to put on it. They rushed into a situation, a position, a medical protocol, a whatever it may be, without seeking the mind of the Lord, and they're paying the price for it. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be smart. Don't try to be a know-it-all. Don't try to be a know-it-all. You see, once you think you've got all the answers and you know everything, you're going to be self-deceived. You will be deceived. Listen, you have to be quick to admit, there's no end to what I don't know. It's okay to say that to yourself. It's okay to say that to others. It's okay to say to them, there's no end to what I don't know. And you know, I say that to myself. I say, Martin, there's no end to what you don't know. But you know what? There's no end to what you don't know. There is no end to what we don't know. That's the truth. That is a truth. That is a reality of life. There's just no end to what we don't know. He goes on, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord, reverence him. Hold the Lord in highest, highest esteem. Show him all the respect, all the reverence that he deserves. Oh, that old Southern Baptist missionary, Miss Bertha Smith, you've heard me speak of her so many times. She caught me short. I'm sitting in a prayer retreat, and she's walking around handing out certificates of completion. And she got to me, and she said, Brother Martin, how many people in your congregation? Now, this was years and years and years and years ago. And I had never taken the time to count the number of people in my congregation. And I just kind of gently, quietly said, Oh, Lord, I don't know. And she stopped, and she put her hand to her mouth, took a deep breath, looked at the rest of the class, and said, Class, do you hear what Brother Martin just said? Did you hear Brother Martin just profane the name of the Lord? And I said, What? What'd I do? What'd I do? How'd I profane the name of the Lord? She said, well, you said, oh, Lord, I don't know. You were not praising him. You were not witnessing. You were not worshiping him. You were not preaching. You were not in prayer. And the name of God is holy. It's to be reverenced. The name of God should be used only in praise and worship and prayer and preaching and witnessing. And how many times do we hear it around us every day? Oh, my God. That's profanity. When I said, oh, my Lord, I don't know. I had no idea that many years ago, so many, many, many years ago, I had no idea that I was violating a spiritual principle. But when she showed it to me, and I started looking in the Scriptures in that area, Yes, she's right. I was wrong. She's right. Now you know. You see, his name, once again, his name is holy, reverent. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says in Psalms 111, verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. That's the only place in Scripture where the word reverent is used. When I saw that years ago, forever, holy and reverent is his name, I said right then and there, I'll never let anybody call me reverend. They can call me Bob. They can call me preacher. They can call me pastor. I've been called a lot of things, but they won't call me reverend, because holy and reverent is his name. And his name is to be used only in praise and worship and prayer and preaching and witnessing. Then the word goes on, depart from evil. We are to depart from evil. Word of God says in Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How can we have fellowship with that which is not in fellowship with God? How can we walk hand in hand with that which is not in fellowship with him? Word of God says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now let me take you back up to Proverbs 3:7 once again. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now in Proverbs 3:8, what is the end result of all this at that point? It will be health to your flesh. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I'm here to say to you, and I'm slowing down to think about this as I say it, sometimes your verbiage, the words that come out of your mouth, are causing you problems. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you will bring some unhealthy results on your own physical body and life as a result of the things you embrace, the things that you say. We're not to be critical, condemning, judgmental. We're not to be accusatory. We're not to be envious or jealous. And so many times we express what we're feeling. You see, what is in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. Now you need to discern your speech. How much negative, how much critical, how much judgmentalism, how much of all of that which is not of God, how much of that is in my heart finding expression through my mouth? Where God says, if you will do up to what we've said this far, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. How many of you listening to this right now need some additional health to your flesh? I dare say most of us. You see, this is the steps to an abundant life. Do you want health to your flesh? Strength to your bones? This is the Word of God. Now, in the King James Version, it reads this way. Have no fellowship, all these things we've talked about, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. Sometimes in our speech, we have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness in our critical, condemning, judgmental, accusatory, contentious speech, whatever it may be. The King James Version reads it this way, Proverbs 3:8, it should be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Health to your navel, health to your flesh. What the umbilical cord is to the infant in the mother's womb, these spiritual truths I'm teaching you are to the child of God, because they are the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Did you hear what I just got through saying? What the umbilical cord is to the infant in the mother's womb, these spiritual truths are to the child of God. Now, think about what you just heard. And listen, I ask you going into it how you would define the abundant life. These are steps to the abundant life. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. What is he saying? He's simply saying, be faithful to God with respect to the tithes and the offerings of your income, of your increase. He says, if you do that, you are going to have, always have, sufficiency. Every need being met. And many times, are you listening? We know the needs are going to be met, okay? But it is in your faithfulness to God with your tithes and your offerings that you're also going to find not only are your needs met, but many of your desires, wishes, and wants are met, yes, in the material realm. This is so loaded, folks. This is a trainload of truth. Be faithful to God with all your increase. You'll always have all sufficiency. Every need will be met. Here again, Jehovah God, your Heavenly Father, makes that a promise. This is a promise to you, a child of God, from your Heavenly Father. You know, the Old Testament manner of giving was a tithe. It was 10% of what your increase was, 10% of your income. In the New Testament, the standard is as God has prospered you. As God has prospered you. You'll have to evaluate whether or not you're doing that or not. But I can tell you this. Put him to the test. If you doubt his word, put him to the test. I assure you, he'll pass the test. I can promise you. Why? I've put him to the test. I've been there. And I know. Some have yet to believe. Some have yet to believe what they're hearing right now. Some have yet to believe the Word of God. Some have yet to believe to really trust the Lord with all their heart. Some have yet to trust Him like that. And it's cost them. It has cost them. I decided a long time ago, I don't want to pay the price for unbelief. I don't want to pay the price for disobedience. I don't want to pay the price for being unchristlike. Because I found that as a father, he chastens his own. He chastens disobedience. And I have no doubt that hundreds of thousands of people today are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, to one degree or another. Why? Because they have not believed, they have not trusted, they have not obeyed, and it has cost them. What does the Word of God say? Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Look at that. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, the correction, the punishment of the Lord. Don't despise it. Don't detest his correction. Why? Verse 12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Think of the chastening. Think of God's chastening. Think of God's correction as proof of your sonship. That's proof you're his child. The Word of God says if he does not correct you, if he does not chasten you, then the Word of God tells us that you're not his child. So it is his correction. I say to the Lord, I say, Father, thank you for your chastening. Thank you for your correction. Don't let up. I've said that to my Father, my Heavenly Father. Don't let up. Where I need chastening, give me the chastening. Where I need correction, give me the correction. Because I want to be corrected. I want to be chastened. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to obey. Can you say to the Father, I want to please you? Can you say to the Father, I want to obey you? Can you say to the Father, correct me where I need correction? Chasten me where I need chastening? But help me understand the correction. Help me understand the chastening so I can take the desired action. But you see, his chastening, His correction proves that you are his child, that he is your heavenly father, and he loves you enough to correct you. He doesn't ignore you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your next thought before you have the next thought. He knows if you're going to voice that thought or not. He knows. And he corrects. And he chastens. And you need to thank him that he does love you enough to correct you and chasten you. We're talking about the abundant life. But we have to consider this. Are there storms in the life of the believer? In the abundant life, are there storms in the life of the believer? Yes. Yes. There were storms on the lake. The apostles were in the ship. Jesus on the water. But he did for you, he did for them what he'll do for you. He joined them in the storm. There are storms in the life. Discouragement. Defeat. Disappointment. Loss of job. Health problems, marital problems, relational problems, all of these are part of life. That is a reality of life, and many times those things are allowed into our lives in order to test us, in order to prove us, in order to give us the opportunity to show that we trust God, to obey his word, rely on his word, and come through that time, that storm. But yes, there are storms in the abundant life. Yes, there are difficulties in the life of the believer. Yes, there are difficulties and storms in the abundant life. But we're not alone in the storms. And this is the great thing. I don't care what kind of storm you come through. I don't care what kind of storm you come through. And they come at different types. At different times in our lives, they come at different strengths, they go off different types, but in each and every storm you come through, Jesus, just like he did that night on the lake, he joins his people in the storm. He will come into the storm, even in the midst of the storm, when you're hurting emotionally, spiritually, physically, painfully. He will come to you in the storm, and he comes to comfort. He comes to relieve, to bring peace, and yes, even healing. Sometimes healing is delayed because of our unbelief, our doubt. Sometimes the answer to the storm we're in is not immediate. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And did you ever stop to pause to think, this storm I'm in right now, did Jesus approve this storm for my life? And if he did, why? And if he did, he has a reason. I don't need to complain about the storm as much as I need to seek the reason. I need to express my thanksgiving and my love and my joy and my willingness to believe, my willingness to trust. I need to come to him. Peter looked at the storm. We've all heard this 1,000 times. Is that you, Jesus? If that's you, bid me come to you. Jesus said one word, come. Come. And we've all heard it 100 times. He got out of that boat in faith. And he walked on that water in faith. We've heard this 100 times. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. It was when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink in his own fear. And many times we, in the midst of the storm, will take our eyes off Jesus. And it is when we take our eyes off Jesus, the reality of his word, the surety of his word, that we begin to sink into discouragement and unbelief and discomfort. And sometimes even an increase in the storm. I ask you going into it, how would you define the abundant life? Let me tell you something, friend. You've heard enough biblical truth in this message Hear me as I wrap this up. You have heard enough biblical truth in this message to assure you of an abundant life if you will just simply believe it, receive it, and live it. Did you hear what I said? You received enough biblical truth in this message right here. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, you have heard enough biblical truth in this message to absolutely assure you of the abundant life if you will simply believe it, receive it, and live it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I have tried to deliver them to them once again what you delivered to me to deliver them. I have tried, Father, to deliver to them what you gave to me to deliver to them. And you know there was a few moments of struggling before I came into the microphone. I pondered. I had to take a short walk with you. I had to sort it out. But I believe, Father, this is the message that you wanted this time for these who have heard it and for those who will hear it. So I commit it to you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I commit it to you. Holy Spirit, I commit it to you. Take the message as you will, with you will. Use it with whom you will, for whatever you will, to your glory, your honor, and your praise. And in somehow, through all of this, no matter what they are going through at this moment, help your people to see they can have an abundant life because of what you did, Jesus, in your life, your death, your burial, your resurrection, and our having been born again. Yes, we can have that abundant life. And I pray, Father God, you'll make this so real to your people. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. All right, that's our midweek Bible study for this week. Be prayed up, looking for you Sunday morning. Come prayed up, come expecting, come in anticipation. And until I see you Sunday morning, shake your hand, hug your neck. God bless you. Good night. Well, once again, want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And once again, that was our midweek Bible study for our people here in Jacksonville. Going into the message, you heard me talk about individuals in our congregation that we're praying for. We have people who need prayer, and so we pray for them. Our people know they can come up and ask for the elders to lay hands on them, to anoint them with oil. They do that. Then also we have the prayer box laying in front of the pulpit. They can put their prayer request in the prayer box, as you can do the same thing. You can mail us a prayer request if you want to put it in our prayer box. And each Sunday when we take the offering, we pray for the prayers in that prayer box. And then we also pray for them during the week. No, you don't have to send an offering with your prayer request if you'd like to put your prayer request in our prayer box. But I just want you to know, you know, we're just real people. We're just real people, just like you are. And we're all in this thing together. So I want you to know that I love you, I appreciate you, I thank you for joining us today here on Challenge, and I want to close the broadcast out today by praying for you. We pray for our people here, and we see the Lord move. I've seen the Lord move over the years, and we just trust Him. We don't touch His glory. We don't touch His glory. No, Moses found that out the hard way. You don't touch His glory. So let's do this. If you will receive the blessing in the prayer that I want to pray for you and the blessings I want to place on you, would you just in some way let the Lord know that you'll receive it? Maybe lift a hand or maybe just say to the Lord, Lord, I receive this prayer from Pastor Bob. I receive this blessing from Pastor Bob. You have needs. I know that. You know that. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just let me pray for you right now? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each and every individual who has tuned in to listen to the broadcast today. Father God, I thank you for our radio congregation. I really do. We come from different denominations, different parts of the country. We're a biracial, multiracial congregation, and we thank you for that. But we thank you we have this in common, that we're purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, and believe a priest. And Father, today, As I close the broadcast, I just want to lift these up in prayer who have concerns and who have needs. In the name of Jesus, I speak comfort, peace, and healing to these. I speak relief to these who need comfort, peace, relief, and healing. And we're asking you, Father God, in your way, in your timing, to bring about that which they need most. Father, I bless your people. I bless them in their spirit. I bless them in their soul. I bless them in their body. In the name of Jesus, I stand against any and every work of Satan that would come against them from any source whatever. And I speak healing, peace, comfort, restoration, and relief. And Father, I'm going to ask you to restrict any further the advancement of any physical disorder in their body. And I'm also going to ask you, Father, to reverse any physical disorder that's in their body and bring back restoration and healing. So, Father, we present all this blessing, all this prayer to you for your consideration in the name of Christ Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being a part of us today. Do we get a chance to do this again? Be ever so blessed. Be blessed.